What is the story with these rising bond yields? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. Bond yields on the 10-year Treasury note are north of 2.9% this morning, and this is the highest level we've seen in 4 years. And we talk about bond yields for a few reasons. They basically represent how much the government has to pay to borrow money, and they affect a lot of other interest rates in the economy, and they compete with stocks on some level. With us to talk about it is Guy Lebas, Chief Fixed Income Strategist with Janney Montgomery Scott. Good morning, Guy.
Good morning.
So 2.9-ish%, these yields are the highest we've seen in about 4 years. Do you see this continuing?
Well, one thing about rising bond yields is that they're kind of self-limiting. At some point, they raise high enough that demand comes into play, and we get a substantial amount of buyers. So our best guess at the moment, and granted there's a lot of uncertainty right now, is that bond yields for 10-year Treasury bonds could rise to about 3 to 3.05% before they meet that ceiling where demand comes in.
Now, earlier this month, we had a major correction in markets, and part of the narrative behind that was that, well, bond yields are rising, eating into the value of stocks, corporate debt's going to get more expensive. Do you think stocks are done reacting to rising bond yields?
Well, full disclosure, I'm not an equities expert, but probably not. There are numerous marks that we've heard from senior strategists across firms saying that, well, maybe if we reach 3.25 or 3.5 or even 4%, that would be really negative for stocks. Statistically, when you break it down, certain types of rising bond yields are actually good for stocks and certain types are bad. The good stuff, so to speak, is if inflation expectations are rising, because that also helps corporate profitability. So if that's the reason why interest rates are rising, then that might actually turn out to be good for stocks, at least to a certain level.
Well, I guess we'll see. We'll wait and find out. Guy Lebas, Chief Fixed Income Strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and happy President's Day week.
Now, you've got your Bitcoin and your Ethereum and your Ripple and a few hundred other cryptocurrencies, but now you can add the Petro. It's a Venezuelan cryptocurrency backed by the cash-strapped country's oil reserves. Venezuela will begin pre-selling the currency today, so get ready. President Nicolas Maduro is hoping to get around U.S.-led sanctions, attract investment, and bring the country back from the brink of full-blown default, Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Maduro plans to issue a total of 100 million petros, each backed by one barrel of Venezuelan crude. But Rice University's Francisco Minaldi says the particular oil block designated isn't even developed yet and is far from infrastructure.
It's ridiculous in the sense that you will have to invest billions of dollars to get any of those barrels back.
Maduro's introducing Petro as a cryptocurrency, but it looks more like a forward sale of oil. And Venezuela's oil production dropped by nearly a third in the past year. Adam Siminski at the Center for Strategic and International Studies says commodities like oil trade in U.S. dollars for a reason. Confidence.
The dollar is a pretty stable currency. The value is there when you go to collect or convert it. That's simply not the case with this idea.
Maduro's courting other OPEC countries to back the Petro. Meanwhile, the IMF projects 13,000% inflation of the actual Venezuelan currency this year. Venezuelans face dire shortages of food and medicine. If an oil-backed digital currency could actually work, Siminski says it would take a country in better shape than Venezuela to pull it off. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
In some areas of New York, you can find a street vendor selling food on just about every corner. You can smell the roasted nuts or gyros first thing in the morning and late at night. But it turns out that selling food on the streets of New York is an almost impossible gig to land legally. That's because it's been decades since the city increased the number of permits for street vendors. In New York City, Beenish Ahmed reports.
Khaled Mohammed has just opened his food stand for the night when Pamela Iguere stops by.
How much is your hot dog? Can I have one, please?
Though he charges $3 now, Muhammad says he only charged $2 for a hot dog about a decade ago. But his costs have gone up, and not only for buns and ketchup. The price he pays for a street vendor permit has gone up a lot, too.
The permit went up like 10 times. I cannot raise the price like $6, $7 a hot dog. Nobody gonna buy it.
New York City hasn't increased the number of permits it issues much since the 1980s. Those who hold permits resell them to would-be vendors, something city health officials say isn't legal, but it is profitable. Original permit holders charge as much as $25,000 for permits they bought for $200. City Council was considering an ordinance that would eventually double the number of street food vending permits, but the bill died without a vote in 2017. Dan Biederman was among business leaders lobbying against it.
Don't do this. Don't take a lousy program and double the size of it.
He says it's not fair to make brick-and-mortar businesses compete with so many street vendors.
If the carts were the right size and attractive and followed the laws, I could see maybe one per block.
Cesar Bach is with the Street Vendor Project, an organization that spent years advocating for more permits.
If the bill had passed, it would have made a difference in so many people's lives.
But Bach says the fight's not over, and he'll keep pushing. More than 1,600 applicants are on the waiting list for legal street food vending permits. The city health department says that some have been waiting for more than a decade. In New York, I'm Beenish Ahmed for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.